Good morning and thanks for joining us today. This morning we're going to read from the 29th Psalm. It's a Psalm of David in which David directs us more than once to give glory to God. The Psalm highlights the voice of the Lord. Time and time again you'll hear this refrain throughout the verses concerning the creative power and the limitless scope and the majesty of the Lord's voice. How the voice of the Lord presides and thunders, how the voice of the Lord breaks and shakes things up. Maybe you felt broken or shaken in recent months. The voice of the Lord breaks and shakes, yet the voice of the Lord gives life and gives things like strength and peace, David declares. But before we read this morning, let's just go to the Lord and ask Him to lead us. Father in heaven, would you do that through the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you anoint our ears to hear, Lord? Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to see you and to know you more as we look into your word this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you hear us when we pray to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. This word ascribe from the Hebrew word yahab, it means to give or to choose to give. We each have the ability to give glory or to choose that which we will glorify. And the question for us today is what or whom will we glorify? The psalmist David in this instance makes the case for us choosing to give honor and glory and praise and adoration to the Lord, and not without good reason. And he makes his case, as we'll see here in just a minute. But he also admonishes us to worship the Lord in holy array. In King David's time, in this Old Testament setting, there was a practice of temple worship, worshiping the Lord in his temple. There was a tabernacle or a tent of meeting that they had set up, and David assigned singers, worshipers, ministers, whose full-time job it was to worship the Lord, and many of them in holy array or holy attire and in a certain prescribed manner. And that word holy means set apart for service. It means to be used in the manner for which and the purpose for which something was created. And for us in a New Testament context, we're told to adorn ourselves with good works. It's not just our appearance that can point the Lord, people to the Lord or bring glory to him, but it's our heart and it's our behavior and the things that we do and the things that we say that have power to glorify God, and we have the power to choose. We have say in this. We can give glory to God, and we have the power to choose to ascribe or give glory to other things. We can glorify Him in all that we do and say. And as if David needed some rationale for this appeal to glorify the Lord, he says, here's some good justification for it. The voice of the Lord, picking up in verse 3 of Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory. How's that for a rationale? Give God the glory, and here's one good reason. The voice of the Lord. Did you ever consider the voice? Think about it. The voice is a powerful thing, isn't it? We each have a voice, and we each have witnessed or experienced the power that the voice has in our own lives. The voice can speak life. The voice can speak death and destruction. Within the power of the voice is the ability to bless and to curse, the Bible tells us. Just the sound of some people's voice can inspire hope or bring peace or bring stress or bring strife and division. So we've all witnessed the power of the voice. And now if we could, we would try to multiply that power of the voice by a factor of infinity. And that's not very practical to do, but neither is making a comparison between us and God, between our voice and His voice. Ascribe glory to the Lord for this reason, His voice. Why His voice? Well, have you witnessed all that His voice has the power to accomplish? Let's look at that for just a minute. His voice is upon the waters, David says, and He's over the waters. Water is a powerful force, isn't it? About 9 years ago, Long Island was treated to a deluge by the name of Irene. Some of you might remember that back in 2011. Our church basement was flooded. A lot of basements around Long Island were flooded. And by the time it was done, there were billions of dollars of damage all over the place. And a few months later, in 2012, it rained for about a week straight, I remember, and everyone's basement was flooded again. And then, of course, later that year, Superstorm Sandy hit, and everyone's basements were again flooded, billions in damage, homes, lives, and livelihoods lost. And we see that this element of water has great power and capacity for harm and for good. Water brings life, doesn't it? There's no life without life-giving water. And the scripture tells us here, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Just because there's a natural disaster or a flood or something beyond the control of our voices, don't think for a second that there's anything beyond the control of His voice. His voice is upon the waters and He's over them. Give Him glory today. David says His voice is powerful and majestic, so much so that the voice of the Lord breaks cedars and breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Not only is the voice of the Lord and the Lord Himself by extension over the waters and above or presiding over these types of monumental occurrences, but if we're to accept this word of the Lord from Psalm 29, and we ought to, then we see that the voice of the Lord even has the power to bring about these occurrences. That's right. I know it's a controversial subject. You mean God has the power and the authority to initiate these overwhelming circumstances? He surely does. And I know it's controversial for some of us, and I don't mean to be controversial. I'm just taking the scripture at face value here. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars, hews out flames of fire, shakes the wilderness. I asked you before if any of you felt a shaking of the wilderness during this current crisis. Now, it's difficult for us from where we sit, as the Apostle Paul says, looking through a glass dimly. We don't have all the facts. We don't see the whole picture. It's difficult for us to know, is this simply a natural disaster? Or is there maybe some aspect of us sowing and reaping? Or is this from the hand of God? And none of us know for sure. But one thing is for sure, and that's this. God presides over Sandy, over housing bubbles, over market turmoil, over coronavirus. The voice of the Lord is so great and so powerful that it makes mountains and entire countries appear as very small, David says. In verse 6, he says, God's voice makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syria and like a young wild ox. In other words, the sound of the voice of the Lord of creation makes whole countries and entire mountains appear as baby animals, like a little fawn or some other small creature. What do we do with our voices? Do we glorify ourselves? Do we glorify our circumstances? Do we glorify the Lord? Do we make mountains out of molehills, so to speak? We can, with our voices, glorify the Lord, whose voice makes molehills out of mountains. Everything else is small by comparison. Who is like the Lord our God? David goes on to say, the voice of the Lord strips forests bare. There it is again. The voice of the Lord has the power to take life. Jesus said in Matthew 10, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus' words. I know it's a popular thing now to see Jesus and to see the God of heaven as simply a nice guy, but I'm here to tell you he's way more than that. And these aren't my words. This isn't somebody's interpretation. This isn't commentary. This is the truth of Jesus Christ right here. Fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. His voice is powerful. And if we don't understand that in this hour, I pray that we would understand it soon. Not only does his voice bring things like shaking and correction and discipline and yes, even judgment, but his voice also brings things like order and life into shape. David says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve, brings forth life. He can break cedars, bring fire, and pronounce judgment, but he can also bring life. He can also create with the word of his voice. In fact, Psalm 33 says as much, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. It's by the Lord's decree that deer bring forth their young. It's by the word of his power that all things are upheld, sustained, and through which they alone continue, Hebrews 1 says. All this is held together by him, the word of his power. So this all-powerful, singularly authoritative voice with ultimate rule and dominion holds within his sway and within his divine will and purpose the power to pronounce order and justice and judgment and life and mercy and sustainability. The voice of the Lord has the power to sustain you in crisis, but also to correct you in the middle of crisis, to correct us when we're going down the wrong path. And if we'll listen, the voice of the Lord can command our attention and our allegiance and provide comfort and peace. I'm reminded of the voice of the Lord on that boat that was crossing the lake with the disciples in Mark 4. Jesus said, peace be still. And the voice of the Lord over the waters that day calmed the storm. The same voice of the Lord brings all these things, order, distinction, hope, judgment, peace, comfort. Give him glory. Don't glory in your circumstance, be they good or bad by your estimation. Give him glory, not a man, not a government, not a political affiliation. Give him glory. Listen to his voice, not your own, not someone else's, not a news anchor, not a social influencer. I pray that his voice will be your influencer and my influencer today. They actually are, maybe more than we realize, or even when we don't acknowledge it. Listen to this next part. David says, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Hear this today. The Lord sat as king at the flood. There's nothing in your life and mine that occurs outside of the Lord's kingship. Let me say that again. There's nothing that occurs in your life and mine outside of the Lord's kingship, be it a flood or a virus. Incidentally, this global pandemic may be the first instance since the time of Noah's flood in which the entire world and every person in it has been so specifically affected by a common challenge. Now, it's not even comparable in terms of damage and totality compared to Noah's flood. Coronavirus is a walk in the park. But from palaces to plains, from Wall Street to Main Street, from hospitals to jungles, I don't know that anyone has escaped its effects entirely. And so how amazingly appropriate is it for us right here and now at this time that is something somewhat similar to Noah's flood? How appropriate is it that we're reading this verse that says the Lord sat as king at the flood? And not only then, but David doubles down. The Lord sits as king forever. King over the flood, king over housing crises and economic downturns, king over Sandy, king over market crashes, king over unemployment, king over coronavirus, king forever. That's his name. And as such, we ought to give him the glory due his great name. And you know what else this king forever has the power and the authority and the will to accomplish? David says, the Lord will give strength to his people. And I love the sequence of this. It's like a timeline, past, present, and future. The Lord sat as king at the flood. The Lord sits as king even now and forever. And the Lord will give, that's in the future, the Lord will give strength to his people. You and I, as the people of God who currently, the God who currently sits as king, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret about the current crisis or any future crisis. Why? Because the Lord, the one who is king over all creation, the Lord who is over every circumstance that comes my way, says to you and to me that he will give us strength. Be it personal, social, material. This is what that word means. Strength, socially, personally, materially, physically. The root word means to prevail. The Lord will make his people to prevail. What a prognosis for you. You're going to prevail in your challenge, in your circumstance, because the Lord says so. He gives strength to his people. That's what his voice does. And finally, not only will he bless his people with strength, David says the Lord will bless his people with peace. As Christ demonstrated to the disciples crossing that lake. Notice he didn't remove his disciples from the boat. Hear me today. He didn't remove them from the stormy seas or the dangerous squall that rose up that day. Nor does he remove you or me from the boat that we're in today, or from the stormy seas or the dangerous storm that comes up that we're going to encounter. But just as he was in the boat with them, he is in the boat with you today. And just as he blessed them with peace in the middle of the storm, David says, the Lord who sits as king forever will bless his people with peace. The Hebrew word there is shalom. I'm sure you've heard of it. It means completeness, contentment. It means friendship. I know a lot of people right now who are looking for completeness and contentment and friendship. At its root, this word means to be in a covenant of peace. That's the way in which the Lord, the forever King, wants to bless you. Not to remove you from the struggle, but to remove the strife from you in the middle of your struggle. To covenant with you, to partner with you. That root word shalom means, when it's translated different times in different ways, to pay back or to restore, to make restitution or to fully repay. You know, sometimes it's hard to look at life, to experience hardship or challenge or to suffer loss and not feel as though something unfair has happened because the loss that you've experienced. The Lord says to you, I will bless you with peace, with restoration, with restitution. In the book of Joel, he says, I will restore to you the years that have been lost. And it doesn't mean that you'll never experience suffering or loss. Quite the contrary, the only way in which you can ever experience restoration and restitution is if you have first experienced loss. Let me say that again. You can only experience restoration if you first experience the pain of loss. Is that you today? Are you experiencing loss? God's word to you and his word to me, God's intention for us God's present and future action that He declares He will take on our behalf is not that He'll keep us from experiencing any loss, but that He will make restoration and restitution for each and every loss we experience. And in the middle of it all, He'll bless His people with peace. That means that you and I can give Him the glory due His name today. Think of it. What glory is due to the one whose voice is so powerful and majestic as to shake the wilderness and to make mountains seem small, yet humble enough to appear to you and me as that still, small voice, a voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk ye in." Could we do that today? Could we listen for and respond to and glory in the sound of His voice? The Lord sat as King at the flood, and He sits as King over coronavirus. In fact, He is King forever. And the forever King gives both strength and peace to His people. I pray you hear His voice today, and I pray that you give glory to God and to nothing else. God bless you on your journey today.